Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Sparky, 5 for 55 past the hour here on 1250 AM The Fan. Time to talk with our guy, Tim Dillard, as we broadcast from the Wendy Studios. You probably had some sort of flavored cream cold brew by now because, well, they're delicious. But Frosty has just entered the chat. It's about to shake up the world of cold brews just like it did desserts. Available in vanilla, caramel, and chocolate. Wendy's new Frosty Cream Cold Brew is a morning maker. Puts other post-lunch pick-me-ups down and down bad. Try a Frosty Cream Cold Brew today at a participating Wendy's. Tim Dillard, you can follow him on Twitter at Tillard, part of the Brewers Unfiltered podcast with Sophia Mindert and Adam McKelvey. Tim, what's on this week's edition?
We're sitting down with one CC Sabathia tomorrow. So I think we're going to have a little bit of a delayed release of the next episode. But yeah, he's being honored at American Family Field. And we're going to sit down with him tomorrow, I think early in the morning, and just, you know, talk about him, which, I mean, he's awesome. Great teammate. Exceptional player, and just a big name in this game, and he's something special.
He was definitely something special. I remember when that trade was going down and the report broke, we were doing our show, the big show, at Summerfest, and everybody was gathered around our tent as we were announcing the details as it was coming through, and the run that he got on after getting acquired by the Brewers, and the CC chants and the Sabathia jersey shirt sales just flying. I mean, they were flying off the shelves. I don't think we'll ever see anything like it. It was almost like an immortal run all the way down to the end of the year. And he's pitching every 3 days, knowing he's going into free agency. And if he gets hurt, he's going to screw himself over, but doing everything he could to try and help that Brewers team break that long playoff drought.
Yeah, and what he did was basically set the bar for any time there was a trade, right?
Right.
Like, anybody that's trade now is like, well, why aren't you CC Sabathia?
Yeah.
and rightfully so. Like, what he did was exceptional, and humans just, you know, they don't do that anyway, but much less going to a new team. So it's going to be pretty amazing just to kind of hear him and his perspective and what he went through. And what I always remember is just kind of, when he came in, he was immediately like, we're going to do this. Like, that was his mindset. It was like, it's going to happen. I don't care what I have to do. We're going to do it. And that self-sacrifice is, you know, maybe you don't see that all the time in baseball. And it was refreshing and cool. And he was willing to reach out and talk to everybody, even a guy that was like me, this is pre-beard, right? I didn't have a beard. I was young buck. and then here's a guy that's like a superstar, and suddenly you're getting – you're getting a Christmas card from him and his family every year. So like, that kind of stuff is just, it's not normal. Nothing about him is normal. It's elite and it's awesome. And hopefully we could share that, on the podcast this week.
I remember being in the clubhouse towards the end of that year, and he had come off a big performance the night before or something. And he came walking in, and I think it was Fielder and maybe a couple other guys started making the sounds of a truck backing up, like beep, beep, beep. And Sabathia's like, what are you doing? He's like, don't you hear the Brinks truck backing up for you next year or whatever? And everybody started laughing because of how much he was about to get paid for just how crazy good he was. And obviously the Brewers get to the playoffs and then lose. But I mean, do you remember that? Were you part of that Summerfest deal after they clinched to get to the playoffs and they had that whole big Summerfest party before the playoffs even started? I'm pretty sure we're the only city in the country that throws parties before the postseason even starts.
Yeah, yeah, I was there. But just like you, you know, like, there's a lot of people that don't remember I was part of it.
Well, there were so many people. Like, we did our show there, and they brought back Yount. I remember, wasn't Yount on Swaim's bench that year, I want to say? So Yount was there, and yeah, I just thought the whole thing was nuts as it was. I was like, we're throwing a party. They haven't even played a playoff game yet. But it was such a big deal, and everybody wanted to celebrate and party. And that and then Ned getting fired towards the end of that year, too, for Dale. That whole thing was crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was my first time, so I didn't know anything like that wasn't abnormal. You know, like, I thought this is what you do, right? You make playoffs, you celebrate it. Like, I thought that was normal. That's all we knew.
Right.
No, I mean, that's, you know, however you do it, playoffs are great. If you want to celebrate it, you know, before, during, after, it doesn't matter. It's such a tough game. It's such a tough life. These people sacrifice so much of just, you know, they're compensated, sure, but anybody can just kind of get compensated and go through the motions. But there's sometimes you can put together a team and a group of people that do more than that. You know, they do more than the bare minimum, and they do something pretty special. And I think that's what you see with playoff teams. So, yeah, it is exceptional, and you should celebrate it. So, yeah, I never really thought about it, but I guess, yeah, that's not a lot of teams maybe do a pre,
no,
you know, a pre let's start a game in the postseason type party, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a great time. I'll never forget it. Okay, so let's talk about the current Brewers team and live in the present a little bit. Against the Dodgers, I think Wade Miley put it perfectly. The ball had a GPS on it. It was just finding its way wherever it could, and luck was kind of against the Brewers. And the exact opposite thing kind of happened against the Rangers. Now they get that sweep and get ready for Minnesota. And the Brewers, you know, I'm not going to say it was a much-needed sweep or anything like that, but coming off that Dodgers series, it's nice to come back, regain those three games you just lost, and the record, I guess, and getting ready to take on the Twins now.
Yeah, we'll back up a little bit, too. They're 6-3. They swept the White Sox before
right.
that. And anytime you get a sweep, it doesn't matter who you're facing. You get a sweep, that just shows, like, hey, we made adjustments throughout the series, because, you know, the pitchers that are up and, you know, that are going to throw are making adjustments. The defense is making adjustments. The hitters. And for you to get a sweep of a major league team is a big deal. So they sweep the White Sox, and then L.A., I don't think the Brewers really did anything different. I thought the pitching was good. And they were hitting the ball hard. They were hitting the ball pretty much where they've been hitting the ball all year, except there was a Dodger standing there. And then when the Dodgers were up at the plate, they were just hitting the ball where nobody was. Adrian Hauser's game in particular, I was ready to rip the chair out from under me and chunk it into the stands from the press box, because I was just like, how are we in, I don't know what it is, August, and we just still don't have anybody playing where they should be for Adrian Hauser. And I've seen this over and over again. I just, you know, for whatever reason, I was very passionate just because there was so many ground ball base hits that were costly. And so a bunch of paper cuts ended up and the Brewers lost. And so then you fast forward, you're like, all right, well, here come the Rangers, and they play some good games. And then here comes Adrian Hauser again. I'm thinking, please let them make an adjustment. And they did. They were playing in a little bit different arrangement. And the balls that were hit were going at somebody. And to me, that was the only difference. I was actually talking to a Brewers person. I don't want to say who it was, but, you know, somebody was like, you know, what do we do after the Dodgers series? I was like, we need to leave town. Like, you need to leave town. You hit the reset button, but at the same time, you don't do anything different. The Brewers hit the ball very well. It was just right at somebody. So what do? They do the exact same thing, except it's no one standing there in Texas. So Arlington didn't have the people in the right spots, and that's all it was. And the Brewers were playing some good baseball. They just ran into some good defense in L.A.
I want to rewind to what you said about defensively behind Hauser. What do you mean as far as not lining up maybe properly behind Hauser?
Well, so if you're shifting small shifts, it doesn't have to be a big shift. And I know they have restrictions this year. You have to have two guys on either side of second base. I get
right.
all that.
Yep.
And I think that's helped him, and I think it'll continue to help him because the huge crazy shifts, I never thought really did much for him. But he should probably have about 15 to 20 double plays on the season. He should be leading all of baseball and balls, you know, on the ground, grounding into double plays as a pitcher. And it's just not there. You know, I think he has 7 or 8 maybe, and it should be way more than that because he's gotten ground ball after ground ball after ground ball that should be a double play after giving up, you know, a little dinker single and the way everyone's positioned. And to me, it goes back to, I don't know why they're shifting him like they would shift Burns or shift Woodruff or shift Miley. You got to shift him very special just because he needs his double play. That's part of his game. And as soon as they realize that, and he's going to get double plays through the roof, he'll start pitching 9-inning shutouts, like that kind of stuff. Maybe not shutout. I mean, he'll give up occasional run, but that's how he's 1 or 2 pitches away, 1 or 2 ground balls away from doing something pretty special. Like if Hauser was on the Dodgers and the way they align their guys defensively according to their pitcher, his numbers would be outstanding. That's what I see. I could be way wrong. I've been wrong a lot. I just talked to my wife. She says I'm wrong a lot. And, you know, but that's how I feel. That's what I see. My experience has told me that. And I'm just kind of waiting around for someone else to kind of see it and push that forward.
So average person, average Brewer fan listening to this interview right now is going, dude, just go talk to counsel. You're with the team. Just go tell counsel what do you think he should do? That's the obvious response from a Brewer fan, I think.
Well, that's just an opinion, right? And then there's tons of Twitter accounts and Facebook and all
you're
that
not
stuff
them.
Of opinions on what the Brewers should do, or the Reds, or the Pirates, or the Yankees. Like, everyone's allowed to their opinion. That's just mine personally. And I see that just because I was a similar type pitcher. I was a sinker guy, and I got ground balls. And when we shifted a ton, it didn't help me. And I came up, you know, I would come into a game after a Josh Hader. So Josh Hader pitches, and he's throwing 97 from the left side, and we're playing a defense a certain way. And then I would pitch. This is in Triple A. And then I would pitch, and we're playing the defense the exact same way. And it wasn't until I kind of fought for my voice to be heard,
right,
that I got some defense changed, and then suddenly I get, you know, a whole bunch of double plays, which I want. If you're a sinker baller that pitches a contact, you need your double plays, and, you know, you need that lead guy out. You may not always get the double play, but you need the guy on second out. And to get one out because you shifted and the guy's on second base, you count that as a win because you got an out. It's not the case. That's why I was saying before the season with the shift restrictions, I got this guy doing something pretty amazing, and I think we're starting to see it. I think for whatever reason, I think they're starting to play a little bit different. It would have went way better in Texas, even though it went phenomenal. Had they played a little bit more double play depth, I think there could have been double play instead of a ground ball hit to center. But at the same time, right, they won the game. It's not a big deal. But everybody has an opinion, and that's just mine because I feel, you know, whatever. I feel emotionally attached to it because I can kind of see that that's the pitcher I wanted to be, and at one point I was and needed a little bit of help.
That's such good stuff. Not going to find this anywhere else. Maybe Brewers Unfiltered, of course, because he's on that too. And of course, the Bally Sports Wisconsin broadcast. I just love doing these interviews every week. That's just so fascinating to me. Tim Dillard, follow him on Twitter, at Dim Tillard. I have one last one for you because I know we've already talked for quite a bit. What about Uribe kind of getting thrown into the fire, I feel, a little bit from counsel? And I don't feel like this is something counsel normally does with young guys, but it feels like he's kind of putting Uribe in as one of those key cogs at the end of ball games right now.
Well, I don't think it's feel and kind of. I think he is.
Yeah.
Every ideal, every time you call up a guy, young guy from the bull, you know, from AAA, you could put him in the bullpen, the big leagues, and, you know, you want to ease him in. You do. The side effect, though, is the fact that they haven't had very many games where he can go in and just be a non-stressful situation where he can get experience. Every single game they play is close, right? Just ask everyone's heartbeat. Every time the Brewers are playing, every game's close, every game's exciting. So you don't have a really a grace period there where you can put him in these blowouts. He just hasn't had but maybe one. So then you start putting him in these very critical roles. Hey, we're down two, we're down one, we're tied, we're up one. You know, here's the sixth inning, here's the eighth inning, here's the ninth inning, the tenth. Suddenly, you're looking at a kid that hasn't been here, but, you know, he's probably pitched in, what, 20 games or less? And he's got more experience than a couple of people that maybe have been in the big leagues for like 2 years. I'm not saying specifically Brewers, but there's been times I was in the big leagues for a long time and had a lot of different outings, and I wasn't in any kind of high leverage like that. Of course, I didn't have a 100-mile-an-hour fastball or slider, but this is what we're seeing. We're seeing just a crash course in experience to where they bring him in to face one hitter, and he dominates him, right? He comes in and has pitched multiple innings, dominates. Pitch in the 10th. Pitch when nothing goes your way. That's what we saw. Can't get a ball to go at anybody. How do you deal with that? How do you bounce back? So I said it on air the other day, maybe three days ago, just talking about applauding counsel and Hook for how they've, like, handled him. They could have just said, you know what, we were not going to put him out there in that situation because he's not ready yet, but instead giving him the opportunity to succeed, and he has. And at every corner, I know he had a bad, you know, an unfortunate game the other day. It didn't go his way. And what do? They throw him right back out there the next day. That's what good managers do. That's what good teams do. And what they've done with Uribe needs to be studied in baseball school.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right, because that dude is going to be unbelievably good because of the stuff that he has, just the God-given talent that he has. And when he harnesses it and is able to throw it more consistently, he's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, once you have that kind of ability, then it's about experience and figuring out what to do in certain situations. Like, you may be able to do everything on the mound, but there's stuff that goes on that's not on the mound. You know, how do you hold runners? What do you do in the ninth inning that you don't do in the sixth inning? And what do you do in the 10th inning when you got the ghost runner on second? There's a lot of different factors that go into just stuff. you can have great stuff and get beat because other teams are outplaying you because there's other things that go on than just stuff on the mound. So that's what he's already gotten a crash course in. And you want to see how a guy responds? Well, this is how you respond. You come up every day thinking, I'm going to be the first guy up. And that's what I see in Abner Uribe.
He is Tim Daler. Check him out. Brewers Unfiltered. Him, Sophia Minert, Adam McKelvey. Each and every week, they'll have CeCe Sabathia on later this week. You can download that over at Brewers.com. Also on the Odyssey app. And of course, every week we have Tim Daler on. He's brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. Check him out online at thefourthbase.com. Known as a steakhouse and seafood restaurant, as they put it. They offer a la carte menu style that allows the customers to customize each dish and entree from the method it's prepared, seasoned, and what size it comes with. Offer a large deli case for customers to view and see the food available each day for order. The food is delicious. 5117 West National Avenue, just steps away from American Family Field. And I know Tim goes there all the time. It's good stuff. TheFourthBase.com. Make sure to check it out. Tim, we'll talk again next week.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I was supposed to share the whole thing about CeCe Sabathia, so let's keep it under wraps between us until we announce.
Sounds good. Take care. There he is, Tim Dillard. Have a good one.
Thanks, Parker.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.